What's up, everyone? The Pro Football Weekly podcast is back, and we appreciate you being with us again this week. He is Eric Edholm.
Hi.
I am Arthur Arkish, and we're going to take the opportunity, a kind of a rare one. We're taping a day early on Wednesday this week, and there's a full slate of football on Thanksgiving. We're not thinking that all the games are extra interesting, but Eric, at least the early game, Vikings-Lions, kind of the unofficial NFC North title game here in only week 12.
Yeah, it was funny. You wrote that earlier this week, and I kind of went, oh, yeah, right. You know, and you think about it, it's interesting because obviously the Lions beat them.
Yep.
And so they would hold the advantage if they won this game head-to-head. If they don't, though, that pretty much keeps them at arm's distance. It would be a
Vikings three games up.
Right, three games up with what, five to play or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that would pretty much lock it up at that point. So, yeah, I mean, this one's obviously, you know, proverbial big for both teams. And you know, it's always tough going on the road this time of year, short week. But
yeah,
if they're, you know, defense travels and if there's a team that seems like it's overcome enough, it's that Vikings team. I mean, You got to be impressed with everything they've sort of been through and everything they continue to go through, and no Cook and the quarterback deal. And
absolutely.
It's been great.
Rebuilt the entire offensive line in the offseason. And even, I think, especially that this is on the heels of last year's, you know, everything falling apart at the quarterback position, the late trade for Sam Bradford. The run game can do nothing because there's no offensive line. So they've kind of dealt with some similar issues and handled them so much better this time around. And Eric, I think you nailed it. Defenses travel and run games travel,
yeah,
and there's a decided edge in both of those areas for the visiting team, even the one that has to, you know, travel for a Thursday game, which is never an easy task.
And I thought the Dalvin Cook injury was going to be the thing that kind of kept them, okay, you know, he had been so good, and he just looked like a difference maker, and I just didn't think they were going to be able to fill that role, but, you know, it sort of worked, and you know, I think I saw a number that the Lions still only have about a 15 or 16, you know, these percentages, who knows, but 15 or 16% chance to win the NFC North. But win this one, and who knows? And if they can just stop Case Keenum, I guess that's what we have to say these days.
Wow.
But, yeah, it's a fascinating game.
Well, it's weird to think about that. I mean, that number, of course, would jump up dramatically. You'd have
if they win.
You'd have the season sweep of the Vikings, and you have a much easier schedule the rest of the way. I think they've got Tampa Bay still on the slate. They've got another really bad team. I don't have it in front of me, but I know Minnesota will go to Atlanta and Carolina the 2 weeks after this
Absolutely.
Thanksgiving game. So it's going to be much tougher sledding for them. But we shouldn't rule out the Lions. Jim Caldwell's Lions are undefeated on Thanksgiving, and they've actually had the Vikings number a little bit in this recent series between Zimmer and Caldwell. So it should be an interesting one. They got to stop the run. I mean, two straight weeks for the Lions letting up more than 200
That's
yards
right.
rushing,
yep.
And they win both games. That's got to be – I'm imagining that doesn't happen very often in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, obviously concerns about, you know, they've lost some pieces up front.
Yeah, Ziggy Ansah didn't play last week with the back. Maybe that was because they were looking ahead to try and turn him around on a short week and get him back.
Yep.
Ziggy's been a terrible pass rusher this year, very disappointing, but he still is pretty big in what they want to do against the run.
Right, and, you know, Jared Davis and everything,
right.
And they've had, you know, depth issues since Nada went down. And so, yeah, it's just, it's been tough, and they really, you know, there was one play last week. I mean, to hear Whitehead had, I thought, a bad game last week. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just not the same sort of unit that we saw a little bit before, and if they're not assignment sound in this one, they might be in a little bit of trouble.
Eric, I can't remember what we said. Before I fast forward, what jumps out at you? I mean, the Cowboys 5-5, welcoming the 4-6 Chargers, who just put it on. Maybe this would be a good segue because I want to talk about the Bills, but I guess we can talk about the Chargers first and how they just gave Nate Peterman a debut he would just as soon forget. But it looks like the Cowboys may get Tyron Smith back. Do you think it's as simple as get Tyron Smith back in the lineup and Dak Prescott's problems are solved?
I don't. Mm-hmm. I really, obviously, running the ball is going to be a challenge anyway. Even with Tyron, I think there's just limits to what they can do. And then I don't want to make a bigger deal of it than it is, but I feel like he and Dez Bryant just haven't found that connection. And they just don't. It looked in that game against the Eagles, and the pass rush was part of it, but it looked like he just didn't trust anybody to throw to.
Mm-hmm.
He was making, like, the boy, let me see if I can make something out of nothing kind of throws that we didn't really haven't known him to be. So it felt like a kind of a desperate effort a little bit. So I don't know. And boy, if you don't have Tyron Smith and you look at that Chargers pass rush,
right?
I know he's supposed to play, or, you know, they think he can play. That's just dangerous because boy, all of a sudden this Chargers team, I mean, you look at the last six, seven games, they've been really good. They lost to the Eagles by a field goal or something, right? They lose to the Patriots.
I think that was the Jake Elliott. Or no, maybe that was against the Giants. But it was a narrow loss to the Eagles.
27-24 game or something, right? Yeah. Yes. I know they haven't scored a ton of points before last week, but, I mean, you know, they lost to a good Jaguars team on the road. They lost to New England on the road by a score.
All of these in the most classic Chargers way of losing games. Amazing. In every one of them, right?
They've been in every game.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were down a touchdown of the Chiefs with 2 minutes left before Hunt ripped off that big. I mean, it's just been like every game this year, I think, has been every loss has been a one-score loss, I think. I have to go double-check that. But and then they go out and just absolutely smashed the Bills last week. So, I mean, I think they're a good 4-6 team. I hate to keep saying about this team, but they always lose games, but they're actually competitive. So, yeah, it's a sneaky little matchup for the Cowboys.
I think you're onto something too with the Dak and Dez thing. I'm pretty sure Dez Bryant doesn't have a 100-yard game with Dak Prescott yet.
Yeah,
I don't want to say he's washed. You still see him make the remarkable plays, but they seem fewer and far in between at this point.
He's been banged up. Maybe they just don't have that connection down.
Cowboys allotted pretty much their entire draft this spring to the defense. Maybe they're going to have to go get Dak his guy in the offseason.
The guy that I thought was perfect for them last year. And again, I probably thought he was, you know, late second, early third round pick. And so, but Juju Smith-Schuster.
The next Dez, potentially.
I looked at his body. I looked at his game. He's like a poor man's Dez.
I knew you were going to say that. Yep.
I was, you know, so, it's like, you hate seeing like what you think is a perfect fit. I don't care about the Cowboys, but.
Right. Well, Eric, the Steelers really needed Juju, too.
Hey, we all need our Juju, but he definitely landed in a good spot.
This is the Pro Football Weekly podcast. He's Eric. I'm Arthur. We're spending just a couple minutes on the Thanksgiving slate because we normally tape on Thursdays and can never hit on them. So if you're looking for the rest of the Week 12 preview, we'll be there in just another minute or two. But Eric, Ben McAdoo, new lease on life with the Giants because beat the Chiefs 12-9 at home? Or is this thing still probably heading in the same direction? What'd you think of that 12-9 win?
Three-year contract extension any day now. I mean, the defense showed up, obviously. Yes, that's, you know, the Chiefs may have undone themselves in a lot of ways, but to hold them without a touchdown through, you know, 65 minutes or whatever it was really impressive. So, you know, it was really, you know, the first glimmer since that win over the Cowboys where they felt like an actual team. So, I don't know. They could easily go on the road against Washington and struggle badly. I mean, I don't know what to – I don't really have any faith. I think, you know, three of their next four are on the road. I mean, they've got so many issues to figure out. Maybe Orleans Stark was kind of a nice little find for them and is kind of, you know, doing some things to help carry the load a little bit. And, you know, they obviously are looking for any offensive answers they can get. So, yeah, the effort was there. Landon Collins had his first – good game of the season, as far as I'm concerned. First big game of the season.
Right.
But I don't know.
Kind of fitting, maybe, that it was the defense that saved McAdoo's skin again because it's not the side of the ball that his specialty lies in. But, we're not going to spend a whole lot more airspace on the Giants. What about Washington? Not much to say. I don't think about them either. But how do they recover from letting that one get away in New Orleans? And now they lose another running back. It's going to be the Samaje Perine show. I think I finally said the
name. You said
it
beautifully. Yeah, Perine.
They play hard and they're a tough out every week, but 4-6 now and gosh, it's just it's got to be hard to lose that way most weeks and come back and do it again the next week.
They don't have enough healthy players to go 11-11 in practice. I mean, that's how stupid things have gotten. Now Kirk Cousins has been, you know, boosting his free agency stock and you know, you're happy that at least Josh Doctson is showing something and whatever, and some of these backup linemen are respectable and everything. I mean, they had a horrible call go against them last week. They were up 15 on the Saints with 3 minutes to go. So, I mean, they obviously do good things without all their full resources. But, yeah, I mean, it's been one of those years for them. And what are they? What's their record now? 4-6?
4-6.
4-6. Okay, yep. I had to think about that. So, it's almost remarkable that they're doing what they're doing.
I think they have a pretty good coach, though, Jay Gruden. I mean, he has to get some credit for the way that they've been so competitive despite all the injuries.
Yep. Good position coaches, too. I mean, they've got a pretty good staff there.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's move on to the weekend slate a little bit. I'm kind of just going in order. We're not going to hit on every one of them, but I guess we do have to hit on the Falcons because that was a big win in Seattle. How convinced were you by that win? How concerned are you by the defense, I guess, is probably the natural segue.
Yeah, my convinced percentage was at like 80-85 most of the game, and it kind of trickled down to about 60-65 as they kept letting Russell Wilson make plays and stuff. But, you know, I still think, you know, they haven't been a big turnover team this year. They made some big statements early, but then just the awful special teams. Like, they can't get every cylinder firing at once. I think that's really the biggest thing. And you know, they did a good job without Devonta Freeman. I mean, obviously, you know, Coleman and Ward ran pretty well. You know, they made some plays out there, and Matt Ryan, for the most part, played pretty well. But, man, those special teams were brutal in that game. And, you know, and the Seahawks, you could say, gave them the game with all the weird calls Carroll was making, the halftime fake field goal, the 4th-and-1 challenge that went awry. And so, yeah, I mean, you go up to Seattle, you win a game in prime time, that's big time, right? That's more like what they did last year. But still gave up 31 points, no run game. I don't know. So it just was a little.
If Pete Carroll has his – if that's not Pete Carroll's first game with a depleted Legion of Boom, Legion of Doom,
yeah,
whatever they're calling
too.
It this day,
yep.
Does he call that absurd fake field goal with 7 seconds left in
Great
the first
question.
Half? Probably not, right? I mean, I don't know why you call it anyway. You didn't – you were just going to get a little closer for a field goal unless you take it to the house. That was obviously – they thought they were getting a touchdown.
He said it was – he could get – he thought – I was actually impressed that Carroll went into as much detail as he did and explained it as sort of calmly and reasonably as he did. But, yeah, he was basically saying he thought he could get out of bounds. Could
he? But there was 7 seconds. I just don't understand.
You, yeah,
then
you
you're just kicking a closer field goal if you don't score a touchdown. Unless I'm missing something here.
Put Wilson out there then. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if you think you're going to get a first down or get
so
closer
strange.
Or whatever. And
right.
I don't know. It never made sense to me. And the 4th-and-1 challenge, to me, I can't let that go. I mean, that timeout hurt them. You know, losing that timeout when Doug Baldwin dropped
oh, right.
the ball.
Yep, that was clear as day.
Hit the ball, hit
yep.
the turf. Everyone saw it. The fans, of course, react to every potential challenge that
mm-hmm,
way.
Mm-hmm.
He can't, you know, if that was at all influenced by the 12th man, that's just ridiculous. I didn't see the point in going for it there. And they lose a timeout they could have used on that final drive. Maybe gain an extra 5 or 10 yards for Blair Walsh, who missed the field goal, came up short.
You know, the Rams lost and kind of got their clocks clean a little bit in Minnesota. It was an opportunity for Seattle last game of the weekend and just couldn't capitalize. So now this NFC West thing, well, they failed to gain ground. So it's still the Rams by a game, I believe, yes. But the Seahawks have the tiebreaker. So not going anywhere yet, but it's asking Russell Wilson to do what he's doing each week doesn't feel sustainable, at least not to me.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he, like Aaron Rodgers, you just wonder what this team will be like without him. You know, I mean, it's the same conversation they're having now in Green Bay in reality, whereas, I mean, I tweeted it out the other day. They look like a 5-11 team without him. I mean, they just, you know, obviously the losing the secondary was huge, but, you know, that's just he's doing so much. And yet, obviously, it was, what, week 4-ish when they played the first time, week 5 in L.A., right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the Rams may have hurt themselves in that game, but the Seahawks seemed like the better team. I mean, the numbers all kind of pointed towards them being kind of kept them at arm distance the whole. I think it's just going to be a different game script this time around. So when you know, I don't know. It's just when those teams face up head to head, I don't know. So it the Rams give me worries. The Seahawks kind of have that feeling like they're teetering off the edge. They still got to play the Eagles, so yeah, I don't know. They've got the Saints this week.
And yep, that's a just good one. The Rams have a couple impressive wins. They won in Dallas, right? I believe that game was at Jerry World. Maybe not. I know
the Rams?
Beat, yes.
Yes.
They came back in Dallas to
yep.
beat the Cowboys. That was, of course, still with Zeke.
Yep.
And they went across country to beat Jacksonville, largely with defense and special teams.
Right.
But if you look at their losses, they're to the contenders. You know, you had the Vikings. They weren't all that competitive after the opening drive in Minneapolis. You mentioned the Seahawks game. I'm drawing
to Washington.
And thank you. Lost
early
to Washington as well.
Two, maybe,
so
yep.
Maybe they're still looking for that kind of all three-phase signature victory and a chance, I guess, to get it this week. Certainly, I don't think anyone is, and you wrote it this week, I don't think anyone's questioning the Saints' contention credentials anymore, contender credentials. So how do you see that one shaping up? We don't know about Marshawn Lattimore's status. We know
mm-hmm.
they lost the Saints' Alex Okafor. So a couple big losses for them. And the Rams will be without, I believe, Robert Woods and their starting corner, Kayvon Webster, as well.
Yeah, the Woods one's big. And, you know, I think Sean McVay acknowledged
well.
That. Yeah, he's had a great little run here recently. He's become their de facto number one. And a week after Cooper Kupp drops that red zone ball, fumbles it at the one or inside of the one there.
Yep.
And then he dropped another huge one later. So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, who do you trust now? Do you have to find some other solutions? Can Gurley kind of get back going again a little bit? So,
yep.
And then, I don't know, the Saints team, they find ways to win games, and that's just so impressive about them.
We'll see. Again, let's keep an eye. Marshawn Lattimore has been so instrumental in what they're doing defensively. I know it sounds crazy for just a rookie cover man, but
absolutely,
he has been great. And we'll have to wait and see what his status is. And I have to wonder if maybe they're so young, I don't know if we fully trust them, but I wonder if this maybe is the week we see those young Rams tight ends and Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett get a little bit more involved when you lose Woods. And like you said, Kupp dealing with a little bit of adversity right now. I don't think the Saints have covered tight ends all that great this year. So just something potentially to keep an eye on. Eric, we're going to talk about a couple more games here quickly. I just want to get your take on the Buffalo Bills quarterback situation. They announced they're going back to Tyrod Taylor.
I don't like it. I don't like their situation. Their coach has made a mess.
I don't think Sean McDermott likes it much either. I think we maybe, I don't know if we disagreed or not. I know I disagree with Hub on the TV set. I almost feel like McDermott looks worse not giving Peterman another shot. What's your take on this one?
I think he's admitting he kind of jumped the gun on it. Like, I mean, I think I said to somebody earlier this week, I was saying, you know, if you'd have told me in August, hey, Sean McDermott's going to bench Tyrod Taylor at some point this season, go to Peterman, I would have said, yep, okay, that makes perfect sense. What I wouldn't have thought was that they were 5-4 and in, I think, either the fifth or sixth playoff spot at that point. And, you know, going against the Chargers pass rush that we both respect a ton and think is really good. On the road, yeah, there were a lot of Bills fans there, yeah, too. But still, I just thought the timing of it was so odd. There were other spots down the road where if they're, you know, 5-6, 6-6, whatever, 6-7, okay, you get it. Want to see a three-game audition from your fifth-round pick? Fine. But now, with the offensive line beat up and everything, it didn't make sense, the timing of it. The move, I get, not when they did it, though.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. And Eric was crushing it, guys, on Sunday. He wrote about five or six stories on all the biggest games and all the biggest angles. You guys should still go check them out at profootballweekly.com. But it reminds me, because you kind of went in on Andy Reid a little bit for his game plan out in New York. And, of course, Buffalo is visiting Arrowhead. And that big strike Chiefs offense from the first couple weeks of the season, well, that's a thing of the past. Do you think Kansas City can rally here? I mean, they're in the AFC. They're in the AFC West, so they're still okay at 6-4, but they've now lost 4 out of 5, and a lot of the good vibes from that 5-0 start are a thing of the past as well.
God, yeah, the AFC West. I mean, it's crazy to think that, like, the Chargers are the team that...
Don't worry, we'll get to the coordinator bowl here in a minute.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, a teaser.
The interim coordinator bowl.
It's unbelievable, but, you know, that's now two straight games where they've looked mostly putrid on offense. I mean, really, with the bye week in between, you'd think would kind of help things a little bit, especially given Reed's 16-2 record previously coming off byes. But yeah, I mean, other than the crazy Hail Mary play, you know, they haven't scored. They've scored one touchdown in the last two games, right?
Jeez.
And, you know, they kind of had to scratch their way a little bit at times in that Buffalo and that Denver win. I don't know. I just, you've seen a little bit of a negative trend. I just thought, you know, Kareem Hunt didn't get enough first half usage, 4 carries. Granted, 2 runs were called back by holds, or penalties, I should say. He caught a ball or two. But still, that's just not, you know, and the shovel pass that got picked. I mean, everybody knows that play by now. You gotta do a variation of it where the ball now goes outside, or you're pitching to somebody else, or you show a look and then show them something else. The Travis Kelce interception, ridiculous. You know, it's 2nd and 10 from your own 40, 6.5 minutes left. You got the a little bit of momentum finally. It just didn't make any sense. DeMarcus Robinson wasn't even running a route on that play. He was just kind of drifting downfield. I don't think he thought the ball was going to be thrown. So, yeah, I mean, some of the cutesy garbage they've done that was novel at first is now tired, and they need new variations of it. I understand the win was terrible, but come on.
The Kareem Hunt, the rookie phenom who has kind of fallen on harder times of late, is averaging 3.5 less touches during these past 5 games when they struggled than
Good
he
stat.
Was early in the season. So there is kind of tangible evidence that they maybe need to kind of recalibrate the offense to run directly through him again. We'll see if they can do that.
Is he not rested off the bye? Like, that's what I don't get. I mean, they did give him the ball. I ended up giving him like 20 times, but still.
I think Andy Reid just gotten a little cute, you know, and sometimes it works. I thought that part of Tyreek Hill's breakout as a rookie was was his use as a runner. I mean, remember all those explosive plays.
Yep.
It can work, but it somehow seems to maybe show a little less confidence in Alex Smith after his great start, in my opinion. So, let's talk. It's not a good game, but it is interesting in the AFC West on consecutive days, Eric, that the Broncos fired Mike McCoy, then the Raiders fired Ken Norton Jr., setting up the interim coordinator bowl. You've got Bill Musgrave now facing his old team, the Raiders, and John Pagano, the longtime Chargers defensive coordinator, now calling the shots for Oakland. And Paxton Lynch is going to be the starter. If Vance Joseph hasn't announced that yet, he's fully expected to. Which one of these teams is more of a mess right now?
I guess I would say Denver, because they've got their third quarterback switch in 4 weeks
there
and a new coordinator.
Yep.
You know, and now reports that maybe they were looking to trade some people at the deadline.
Demaryius Thomas.
You know, all these things are all kind of happening at once. And like you pointed out on our TV show, who's the lead runner? Is it Devontae Booker now? Is Anderson kind of pushed to a complimentary role? And so all these personnel changes, you know, it goes one or two ways. You kind of ignite things. You have different looks, different play calls. Maybe it sparks them a little bit. But with Lynch having practiced as little as he has, and he had three kind of vanilla starts last year, I didn't see a lot. I don't know. I guess I'm siding a little bit more on the Raiders. Because the stuff with, you know, Pagano and Del Rio have a good little history. They've known each other a long time. You know, Ken Norton Jr., they had problems last year, too, early in the season. The first couple weeks, you could see them bickering on the sideline. There was reports of tension. They kind of made it work last year. You know, it's not a shock that he's fired. So I think this was almost a coup d'etat. I think this was coming anyway.
But shouldn't the defense – that should be Jack Del Rio's
fate
baby.
Or fait. Was I trying to say that? Yeah, that's what I meant. One of those French words. Yeah.
I guess where it goes over my head a little bit is Jack Del Rio's a defensive coach, and why is none of this kind of falling on him a little bit more? The defense was awful last year.
Teflon,
and frankly,
man.
Reggie McKenzie too. I mean, I'm sorry. Khalil, you set up your franchise with Derek Carr and Khalil Mack and Gabe Jackson. I get that. But what about all the misses trying to rebuild that defense in the past 2 years, and they seemingly are exactly where they started still?
Yeah, I mean, for every Gerrion Conley who's hurt, you've got a Shalik Calhoun and a Jihad Ward and all these guys who aren't – they're not even active. They're not playing. I mean, they're just not – their first three draft picks the last 2 years have been on defense, first, second, third-round picks, and they haven't gotten anything that they can count on right now out of that group. So – That's obviously a big problem. And McKenzie had been on a roll before that 2014 draft will go down as one of the great hauls.
Yes.
And, you know, but, yeah, I mean, there's issues there. I think, you know, Mark Davis is obviously keeping an eye on Del Rio. He gave him an extension, I think, was that last year?
No, I think it was this offseason.
This offseason.
Pretty sure.
You know, within the last year, let's say.
And I had tweeted just yesterday that I suspect they're regretting it now because I don't know.
He'll get another year, I think, but you're right.
Yes, he will. But yep. I've never thought too much of Jack Del Rio as a head coach. And I don't know. I'm not really seeing things turning around there or likely turning around here the remainder of this season. So just a couple minutes left on the Pro Football Weekly podcast. He's Eric. I am Arthur. We got Dan Mott producing the show. We appreciate you guys being with us on this Thanksgiving week. And I think we kind of hit on all the mostly interesting games, Eric. Is there anything else that we left off? I mean, the Blaine Gabbert Bowl with Jacksonville coming to town. Mm-hmm. That should be really lovely.
Yeah, chance of redemption.
You've got the Steelers welcoming Brett Hundley and the Packers and looking to build off. What'd you think of Todd Haley bringing the no huddle back into play or fully into play in the first half versus Tennessee, and then Ben Roethlisberger's best game in more than a calendar year coming out of it?
Got him in rhythm, right? I mean, those throws were ones that I hadn't seen in really over a year. So yeah, that was huge. And you know, their confidence has to be a lot higher now. That was their best offensive game,
and without Le'Veon as much, right? That had to be by design. He's on pace for I think a record touches,
right?
And the Steelers now should have fully have their eyes on January playing in that division. Don't you kind of get the sense that was a cognizant decision? We got to start trying to save this dude up a little bit.
Absolutely. And what did he have in the playoffs last year? 30 carries one game and 35 the next, or whatever. It was a crazy amount of touches last January.
Oh, yeah. Starting in December, right? Yeah,
right.
It was leading into the playoffs, correct. And it almost felt like through last week it was just a continuation of that.
Right.
I know Le'Veon was rusty coming off the holdout early, but they were still using him a ton. So yeah, they've kind of taken the foot off the gas a little bit there, and I think it's smart. They're getting Martavis Bryant back in the offense a little bit. That secondary didn't miss Joe Hayden. I know Mariota and the Titans have been disappointing offensively, but you had Cody Sensabaugh step up.
Right.
Sean Davis looks like he's becoming a stud. I really like that Steelers defense. It's almost like the Eagles. There's so much star power on the other side of the ball. Maybe we're not paying quite enough attention to what's going on with Keith Butler's group.
Yeah, I mean, you hope that you don't have to count on Sensabaugh for too long. I mean, he makes the pick sure. six, then he gets burned on the play in the opening of the second half. So, I mean, he's one of those players that, you know, he's a great fill-in here and there, and they obviously have better depth than they had in recent years. Sean Davis, you know, was such a fascinating guy coming out of college. Was he a corner? Was he a safety? You didn't know. Mm-hmm. Steelers said, forget it. Let's just draft and we'll
Football
figure out what
player.
To do. Yeah, right. And he's a hitter. He's a good player. So, yeah, they've done a really nice job on that side of the ball. Linebackers are flowing well. I mean, up front, they can dominate some games in the trenches. So, yeah, you know, it just against that Green Bay offensive line and their lack of progress with Hundley, feels like it could be a blowout.
Oh yeah, I think so.
Mike McCarthy getting thrown out of his hometown, huge L.
And McCarthy not. I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's in trouble or anything. But not a good look for him in recent weeks. Hundley has not taken the steps. Yes, he was good against Chicago, but step back last week.
Yeah, I mean, he said the reason why we're not bringing in other quarterbacks is because we've developed these guys.
We've invested so much in them.
Yep.
Exactly. So, Eric, let's cut right to the chase. We've got about 2 or 3 minutes left, but it's going to be Steelers-Patriots again, right, in late January. I think the question is probably likely where is it going to be, and do you think the Steelers have built up enough from where they fell short last year? I think they scored 16 points in Foxborough last year. I mean, just do you see it going differently this time if this is what's, in fact, where it's heading?
Chargers? Can we make Chargers? I like the way they've played. I wish they would have won a couple more games. I'd feel a lot better about them. But, yeah, no, I mean, obviously it's just you think about
the Jaguars, man. I mean,
right? Just because that defense, could they
really good?
I think it would have to be Jaguars, Steelers facing each other. I mean, I just cannot picture the Jags. I can't picture Blake Bortles beating Tom Brady. I know they don't go head to head, but I'm just that doesn't enter my brain. In Kansas City, I still don't think you can completely write them off. I'm not ready to do that yet, but I don't know anybody. I mean, Baltimore, come on. I don't know. There's just nobody else that really feels right.
And here's my last question, point, whatever it is. Are we giving the NFC a pass? Because it seems like it's very in vogue right now to rip on the AFC, and I understand why when you look at, like you just said, Baltimore, Houston, all these teams that are in contention. I like the Chargers too, talent-wise. But again, sub-500 records, and we're still discussing them here in Week 12. But the Falcons right now are the sixth seed in the NFC, and we just kind of talked about some of their shortcomings. I don't know. Is the whole field? I mean, it's just not all that good. There's a few dominant teams and a bunch of meh sort of challengers, it seems.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think Philadelphia, Minnesota, New Orleans at times this season have looked like Super Bowl contenders. The Rams at least have kind of flirted with being a fun and dangerous team. You mentioned the lack of quality wins.
Carolina, dangerous.
I'm just kind of looking right down the row. Yep. You know, I don't see the Carolina Panthers as a Super Bowl team this year. That's just me. Mm-hmm. If they get Olsen back and they start rolling, maybe I'm wrong on that. Atlanta, you know, I'm still not ready to write them off. But, right, it hasn't been the same team. And then after that, Detroit, Seattle, Green Bay, Dallas.
All flawed teams.
Yeah. Like, could Detroit maybe sneak in there at some point if they win this Thanksgiving game? And then they, you know, maybe. But boy, I wouldn't say they were Super Bowl quality. Yeah, I don't think that's
no. But they do have a really good quarterback, and I've grown to respect Jim Caldwell a lot. I know that he's tough to deal with for
that's
media
an
members.
Unpopular.
I know it is, I like how he always seems to rally when his team's back's against the wall. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's about all I got. Eric, send these listeners off with a very happy Thanksgiving. Not a hairy Thanksgiving, a very happy one, and we'll get out of here on the Pro Football
Weekly
Podcast.
I hope you guys all shave before Thanksgiving. keep your coiffure intact. But, yes, please enjoy all the food, all the company. Mostly it's about the family and seeing people like that. Being safe, being sound, enjoying your football. But, yes, it's a great family holiday.
I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for the handful of good NFL teams we get to watch and cover this year. And I'm of course, kidding. We get to cover football. football and talk and write about it for a living. So that's about as good as it gets. I'm thankful for our awesome producer, Dan Mott. And again, we love you guys. Thanks for being with us on the Pro Football Weekly podcast. We will be back next week. Everyone have a wonderful holiday or holiday weekend if you're getting to us late.